We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
WGR Sports Radio 550 and WGR550.com. Sports Update.
Okay, here's your sports update. The Buffalo Buttes announced yesterday to terms with forward Danny Camerunese on a one-year contract. Camerunese recently won the gold medal with Team USA at the 2018 Winter Olympics in Pyeongchang, South Korea. Senators captain Eric Carlson's wife, Melinda Carlson, or Curry, Melinda Curry, has filed an application for an order of protection against Ottawa forward Mike Hoffman's fiance, Monica Carrick, for allegedly harassing the couple online since November 2017. Mike Hoffman has denied the allegations that he or his fiancée were involved. The Senators issued a statement yesterday saying that they will investigate the matter in cooperation with the NHL. The Bills enter its second day of mandatory three-day mini camp. Tune in to One Bills Live today, where John Murphy and Steve Tasker will have a chance to sit down with Bills first-round draft pick linebacker Tremaine Edmonds, UB basketball head coach Nate Oates, and we'll hear live from Bills insider Chris Brown from practice. The Raiders have cut former Penn State quarterback Christian Hackenberg yesterday afternoon. Oakland acquired Hackenberg from the Jets on May 22nd in exchange for a conditional seventh-round pick in 2019. Oakland will keep the pick. Hackenberg and linebacker Brady Sheldon were both waived to accommodate the team's signing of defensive tackles Ruben and Frosty Rucker. Atiba Ruben, I believe. I messed up Micah Hyde yesterday. I didn't mean to do that. It was fast reading. The Rams have been ordered to pay former NFL running back Reggie Bush $12.5 million in damages yesterday for a knee injury he suffered in St. Louis in 2015. Bush was pushed out of bounds during the game and slipped on some concrete at the Edward Jones Dome on November 1st, 2015, the last season the Rams were in St. Louis. Bush suffered a season-ending left knee injury. And that's your sports update for today. Back over to the instigators, Andrew Craig. Marty Biron's here on Wednesday.
I should get $12.5 million for hitting my head on the corner of the desk. That is the way I look at it. Like, this could be a season-ending head injury that I'm dealing with.
We could all be so lucky.
I'll share.
We need to secure this whole studio.
Well,
I cannot believe you just hit your head in the corner. Listen, of that. Did it hurt?
It did not hurt because it felt like.
I cannot
like,
believe it didn't hurt.
Exactly, because I've hit my head many times, you know, like you banging on the corner, whatever. It happens a lot. Like, there's a part of my basement. If I go up the stairs really quick to go to the garage, the ceiling comes a little lower, so if I take a step up, I just hammer my head on there, so I have to be careful, and I know where it is. This funny did not hurt, but I knew I was cut right away. It felt like somebody just took
a jab. You know when you're cut,
there.
Eh? Like you remember, you know when you're cut.
But it didn't hurt. It cut me in the right spot. Like, so I must have a soft spot right now.
It's because you're
forehead.
A warrior, Marty.
Well, that's where the wrestlers will like take a razor blade and cut their forehead so it looks like they bleed, right? Because the skin's really thin there.
Oh, is that how they work?
Yeah. So like they'll take a razor blade, they'll have it in like their wrist thing, and like when you can't see, they'll be down, they'll like cut themselves in the head, and the blood comes out really fast.
I thought it was just a pill that they exploded on their forehead so that they
no,
dropped
they
the
actually
pill.
They would
really?
Cut yeah little cuts like up in their hairline, like because
back that, in the old hacksaw so, Jim Duggan days.
Oh yeah,
I think
Bam
even
Bam
now,
Bigelow.
Yeah,
well remember
you
know,
don't
so,
you, didn't you ever get cut on your on the top of your head or, and just bled.
Petey, remember yeah. like a cut used to be a 5 minute and an injection. That was the whole Wayne Gretzky 93 playoffs with LA where he high-sticked Doug Gilmore and Kerry Frazier didn't see it, and it would have been a 5 and a game for Wayne Gretzky because Doug Gilmore was bleeding. So back in the days, and I remember this, so Matt Barnaby once got hit in the face and he's laying down. So Jim Pizzutelli, the trainer, ran on the ice like, okay, I got to go take care of him. And Barney's down, and Jim Pizzutelli has to have the rubber gloves, like the latex gloves, over his hands, and he's there. And Barney's like, Pizza, cut me, cut me. And Pease is like, I can't. He goes, take your glove off and cut me. Like, he wanted the guy to get a five-minute major. So he's like, just pinch me hard, like right by the lip or whatever.
Have you ever bit your tongue or bit your lip to make it bleed?
Nope.
Why would anybody want to do that?
Well, you get the competitive advantage.
No, that's true. I've never done that.
You've never done that. But I know that there's guys that have thought that way.
Well, Mario would do the, you know, the blood. I got the blood. Or I got that. Like, you get a little dab of blood, they're going to call you for a five on that? Like,
but that's absolutely what it was. Bleeding was a five in the game. Any now it's blood. A four, and you don't
make
get
yourself
kicked
bleed. I remember Don Cherry. You're going to get the five-minute power play.
Don Cherry's Rock'em Sock'em Hockey used to do did a mock thing where he's like, oh, yeah, Mario, yeah, I got, look, it, there it is. He's like tapping the lip. He's like, look, I got the blood right here. Ref to prove it. It's a five. Great tweet
It'd
coming
be great
from
if
our
you
buddy.
Cut on the finger. And then you kind of went like this on your lip and showed it, and just you have blood on your lip, but you don't have a cut.
I got bit in my thumb, and I got the penalty. That's not a joke either.
How's that happen? You got a penalty for what? Putting your finger in a guy's face?
I can't remember. I think it was unsportsmanlike.
For putting your finger in his mouth?
I don't remember what it was for.
Well, why was your finger in the guy's mouth?
It wasn't in his mouth. I was trying to gouge his eye out, and he moved his mouth to my thumb.
So that doesn't deserve a penalty for trying to gouge a guy's
it's
eye
not
out.
My
it's not my fault. Is I wouldn't.
If I ever
in.
Saw Rutu again, I would take my thumb and say,
who's
see
that?
What
Christian
you did?
Christian
no,
Thomas
Yarko.
Rutu?
See Yarko? What you did, and I would jam it as far in as I could right in his eyeball. Great tweet right here from Jay McKee. Marty Biron can see pucks coming through traffic at 100 miles per hour, but can't see the corner of a desk. Retirement problems.
Retirement problems. I have bad vision now. I got to go get my eyes checked.
Oh, don't use that as your excuse to wear glasses for a fashion statement, Marty.
It's a new thing in the NBA.
It's
all these analysts are wearing these big glasses.
Hey, we have some people helping us out here.
Yeah, go for it.
Doing what?
Singapore. Joe and Jay were tweeting us in here 12 hours ahead. So if we were to get JR,
he'd be in prime
at
shape
10:30,
at
10:30 p.m. 11 o'clock.
Just be finishing dinner.
No, right before he goes out to the bars.
Just finishing dinner.
Perfect.
Beautiful.
Perfect.
He can tell us what happened that day.
Remember we had the conversation with him and he was in Pyeongchang. He's like, I don't know, boys. I might go over to the Russia house. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know if I should go to bed. I might head over here. There's a couple parties going on.
So what's he going over there for? Just
I think the league's looking to expand in Singapore, and they want him to be the spokesperson for it.
Are you serious?
No. Not at all, actually. I forgot, Marty, I forgot to crumple up
right here, right here, right here. Don't hit me. I'm going to bleed.
You got it?
I'm going to ask him.
All right. We got to do our daily. Oh, nice shot. We got to do our daily dose of Darlene here, and let's get those tunes going. Because we do this every day, and this one hurts a little bit. I'm not going to lie. This one stings a lot. So, what was the draft lottery day? April 28th? Do I have that right? No.
No, it was before. It was around there. Whatever.
Let's call it around there.
Let's call it around there.
So, after Someone that, April. Who were we trying to get on the phone for the longest time?
Not Henrik Lundqvist.
Not Henrik Lundqvist. So, he's the king. So, would it be Prince Lundqvist? The brother?
The king's brother.
No way.
Yeah.
he has no idea where we're going with this.
I think he has an idea.
No, he doesn't know.
What do you think? The king's brother.
Yeah.
What about
him? Joel?
Joel.
Yeah.
Is he? Was he on?
He was on with Howard and Jeremy.
Get out of here. He was on with you. Someone go get the mic. Get off the set right now. You're done. I'm dead serious.
Listen.
You had one job to do in the last month.
You played with Lundqvist's brother, and they don't have any connection to him.
Listen, I told you.
Everybody listen.
Here's the problem.
Shh. Is Marty Henrik, has been iced
Henrik
by the Lundqvist.
Henrik is probably not using his North American phone in Sweden. That's
Marty,
why.
Marty, listen to this. Fired. Duh.
Well,
get
right
off
now.
The set. Unbelievable. You
I'm going to take
job.
A medical leave of absence because of my head.
How do those guys get Joel Lundqvist?
They just requested him through the right people. I mean, we had all the faith in Marty to be able to pull this off to get Joel because he played with Rasmus. Darlene,
yes.
That is.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm telling you, I dropped the ball. I dropped the ball. I can't even say. I'm not even going to back
Do you have a segment with Howard and Jeremy?
Not anymore, but during the hockey season I do.
So you do have a segment with Howard and Jeremy.
Are you?
I am going to tell you right now, I would not put it past Marty that they asked the same question that you and I did, and Marty got the information and got Joel's number and gave it to them.
Well, who asked me first? That's what I want to know.
Oh, so there you go.
Ooh, is that how they got it?
Anyway,
no. How'd it go?
Didn't hear it, but I have some quotes here.
I heard the first part. I was driving in, so I actually listened to it. And it was only Jeremy. I don't think Howard was there this morning. But anyway.
Okay. We got some sound bites.
Go for it.
All right. Here's the first sound that Joel Lundqvist made on the show this morning with Howard and Jeremy.
You could tell early he was something else. I mean, you heard a lot of good stuff about him like 2 years ago, and then he came up and had his first practice with us in the elite team, and I mean, he did stuff out there right away that's like, okay, this kid is something special. So and from then he's been better and better, and I think this year he matured a lot, and he's a top player in Sweden, and I mean, I think the whole Sweden is excited to maybe have a number one pick in the draft this year, and hopefully it's him.
Hopefully it's him.
Okay, we all know it's him. Two things. He really sounds like his brother.
Does he ever?
Henrik, having been in New York a little longer, doesn't have as thick of an accent, but still sounds very much like Henrik. So maybe they got Henrik and he pretended to be Joel. We were really trying to get Joel here, so that's maybe one thing. Two, what I like out of Joel in this instance is the fact that he said, you know, he came in and really blew right us out of the water with the way he can skate, the way he can play. So, yeah, I mean, this is a guy that has seen. He was in Dallas, and he's seen prospects come through many, many times around, and this is a special guy. So, but everybody's being so careful not to say, well, he's the number one guy. He's going to Buffalo. We all know this is happening, but everybody is being so careful around Dallin's camp, around the Sabres, around the world, to not say, Dallin to Buffalo, who's at two, and what are they picking?
There's the 1% chance that he's not coming, and the 1% chance, 1%, because there could be some team out there that literally sells the farm just to get Rasmus Dahlin, and you don't know. You never know, so you have to keep the percentage open, right?
Well, okay, do you, though, or does Botterill go in saying, yeah, you can make me whatever offer you want, but I can't move off this pick.
Well, you know why I would call other teams?
Don't you have to wait and see? Doesn't Jason Botterill just have to have the opportunity to say, listen, I'm not going to commit to anybody. I'm going to, you know, Rasmus Dahlin's a great hockey player, but, you know, my options are open. And, you know, we'll see what happens on draft day.
You know why I would, if I'm Jason Botterill, you know why I'm calling other teams?
They're 1% open. We're going to be taking Rasmus Dahlin. Unless there is some completely off the chart, unbelievable package that almost you can't as an organization
overlook. Look at what Colorado got for Duchesne.
Oh, that's adding a third team.
It took a three-way team, right? But
Mike Schoop asked a question yesterday: if Rasmus Dahlin would Rasmus Dahlin be a top two picks if you threw in all the top prospects of the last 5 years, per se? McDavid, Eichel, Matthews, Marner. Like, you're like, no, he's not a top two pick. But you know why Jason Botterill has to call all the other 30 teams? Because he's in a position of power. Not just because he would be trading Rasmus Dahlin, but the fact that you can gather so much information around the NHL by making the phone call and dangling this prize and trying to figure out who is on the block and who's not. You call the LA Kings and you say, hey, just want to know if number one's was to be available, and see if you can start a conversation to find out who would the LA Kings be willing to part with. Because it may not have a direct effect with Rasmus Dahlin and his pick, but it could have an effect later in the draft or an effect later in the season. Find out as much information around the league, because you're in a position of power. You have the number one pick right now. That's right. What would be available out there, or what are teams willing to part ways with?
I think you trade the pick if there's uncertainty as to who should be one and who should be two. Like, if you go back to the Ekblad year, you know, it was Reinhardt, Bennett, and then Ekblad. Ekblad wasn't the first overall rated pick from the start of the year when he was in Barrie. He gradually
moved up. I think the Sabres would have picked Reinhardt if they had number one.
And I
don't think they would have.
You think they would have picked Ekblad?
At that point, I think they had to.
I think that they were satisfied with losing the lottery.
So the fact
that
their man,
the guy they wanted was Sam Reinhardt. That having to go number one, they would have really tossed that idea around. Should we pick Reinhardt? Should we not? Should we move down? But the fact that the lottery did that for themselves, it was fine. They wanted Sam Reinhardt that year.
But that's the year, if there's uncertainty, where you can afford to trade away the first overall pick and, you know, maybe not, I don't know, if you traded away the Ekblad pick and picked up a bunch of pieces and your team was better off, would you look back at Ekblad now after 3 years in the league and say, man, we made a mistake? I don't know if you would or wouldn't, but I can tell you that if the uncertainty's there, then maybe you can do it. But when it's a surefire, I mean, who am I to say it's surefire? Everybody says it's surefire. This guy is a generational type defenseman. We didn't hear that about Ekblad. We didn't hear that about Phillips. We didn't hear that about Jovanovski and all the other defensemen that went number one overall. I just don't think you can afford to trade the pick and pass up on a Jack Eichel type hyped defenseman.
No, absolutely. You can't trade him.
I'm not disagreeing with you, and 99% of that says we are going to take Rasmus Dahlin. But you do not know if there could be trading partners out there. And Marty alluded to, you know, well, Colorado got what they got because there was multiple teams involved. Well, you know what? It very well could happen in the same situation that there's one team that really wants something that, you know, One team really wants Rasmus Dahlin, and they're willing to give a lot. There's other teams that could be involved. You don't know what's out there. And it would have to be one of the biggest blockbuster trades of all time. Like, literally of all time. Because
like
we know very absolutely off the chart big that it would be mind-boggling would be coming back to the Sabres.
Eric Lindros trade will never be done in the history of hockey again.
So go, if you haven't seen it,
money,
go
right?
Google the Eric Lindros trade tree. It's more than
not
that.
Not just
that
the trade tree. The fact that, you know
that,
what? For the Flyers and for the Quebec Nordiques, it
say
worked.
That again, though. Say that again.
It was $10 million cash, I believe. $10 or $15 million.
So let's get rid of the
cash.
You talked about the players.
Okay, there was Ron Ekstall.
Mike Ricci.
There was Mike Ricci.
Who was drafted what? Fourth overall or?
Faux pas.
It was Peter Forsberg.
Peter Forsberg.
Was Uwe Krupp part of that deal as well? There was Steve Duchesne, I believe it was. It ended up being like six players and draft picks and $15 or $10 million cash. Mm-hmm. And there was a battle between the New York Rangers and the Philadelphia Flyers to know, because they made two deals. And they basically, the Rangers thought they had the deal and the Flyers thought they had the deal. And they had to go to an arbitrator days later to find out. So at the draft, they made the deal. And days later, they found out the Flyers had made the deal first. And that's the deal that they had to stick to. But that deal would never get done again. But, I mean, remember the movie Moneyball? When Brad Pitt's character is trying to find out who's wanting to trade other players.
Billy Bean,
right? And he calls a GM and he goes, I hear this guy's on the block. He calls the GM, what do you want for this guy? I would like a left-handed relief pitcher. Okay, man, who's got a left-handed relief pitcher that we could trade with? Oh, this guy. We got to offer this guy this because we don't want this player to go with that team. By making the conversation, you know, even on Dahlin, you learn so much about the league. You learn about who does the Carolina Hurricane want to trade.
The needs, who's on
exactly.
The blocks.
So that's where Jason Botterill right now is working the phone. You say 1%, I say 0.1% that Rasmus Dahlin is not a Buffalo Sabre.
Sure. Same thing to me.
Good.
99% one way, 1% the other.
That's right.
Six and one half dozen in the other, maybe?
99.9%. Oh, 0.1%. 99.9%.
I'm going 100% and 100%. Nicole Hensley's going to join us. She's Olympic gold medalist, just signed with the Buffalo Buttes, goaltender. So we're going to talk to her when we return, and we're also going to do our buy, sell, trade presented by Buffalo Sports right here on the Instigators, WGR Sports Radio 550 and MSG.
Hockey talk that hits. This is the Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
No, it's you. Well, I don't know. Is it me?
Are we doing this or that?
Are we doing this or that? Oh, this or that. Good. Okay. Well, it is. We're having a great show, by the way. Jeremy Roenick was a standout as usual. But Petey, Rivs, it's time for this or that. And let's start with the what's in the
first.
News right now. The music first. I don't know. Can you hear the music?
There we go.
Oh, yep, we got a little little tunage.
I don't know. My head is hurting right now, so I'm not all there. But anyway, obviously,
McKee
the
you,
Eric Karlsson, Mike Hoffman situation is pretty big in Ottawa, and we talked about it. We talked to Jeremy Roenick about it. Earlier this year, there were some billboards in Ottawa that popped out. It said, hashtag Melnick out. So I'm asking you right now, you have a lot of money to burn in Ottawa, and you want to buy a billboard. This or that, hashtag Melnick out or hashtag Hoffman out? Which one do you go with?
I got an easy one.
Hoffman out?
No, it's Melnick out. And because Melnick probably could have dealt with all of this.
Oh,
I mean,
no. You can't blame the owner for what's going on between wives, especially when it comes to...
Does he not know?
He may have known, but still, like... Before it reaches the owner, it went through many different channels.
And I don't know this answer. When was the harassment?
November.
It was no. It's
no. When did the harassment
charges
laid?
I believe it was like May 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, somewhere 10th, 12th.
We know
May.
That the Ottawa Senators knew about this situation in April.
Yeah.
But in May, the charges are laid. Why isn't the with how serious this is, and internally, why can't this be dealt with internally? Why can't this be dealt with? This is
because
serious
they're
stuff.
Denying it. Because Hoffman and his fiance are denying the allegation, so that's why they ended up having to file an order of protection.
So this might come out that the cyberbullying is not even coming from.
It
Hoffman?
Could. It could. Eventually.
Like that's the thing. I mean, you have Mike Hoffman coming out saying it's 150% not us.
Okay, I'm asking you hashtag Melnick out or hashtag.
I'm
going to
say
out.
Hashtag Melnick out, and the only reason I say that is because I want to give the benefit of the doubt to Hoffman. I do not. I'm like everybody else out there. I don't know anything. I get these little snippets on Twitter. You read an article from Sportsnet or whatever it is. And you get very little information. We do not know internally what's gone on there between the two girls. I'm not going to sit here and bury a girl and talk bad about her when we just don't know what's going on. Maybe there was a little bit of a feud, but is it enough of a feud to sit there and charge another wife on the team? Maybe that cyberbullying was coming from people that... Or on the outside. I don't know.
It's ugly either way.
Right now, I'm
hashtag Hoffman out because I think I care about my hockey team being good on the ice and the owner. Maybe
so you're saying that you're willing to bury a person and you don't know if they're guilty or not?
No. I got to keep moving. See?
Well, okay. You know, to
that's
Riv's,
what I'm
to
saying.
Riv's
okay,
point,
let me ask
no,
you
no,
this.
No, to Riv's point, social media is bad for one thing. Everyone wants to be the first to get the story out there with very little facts.
Oh, it's not very little fact. This was filed May 4th, and we are June.
The biggest fact is missing,
June
whether
13th.
Or not it really is okay. Hoffman's fiance or not.
This
That's
is this
the
or
biggest.
That. Do not hijack my segment. You can discuss it on
Melnick
your own
out.
Time. Second, Dumbo, the movie, the actual movie's coming out. Okay, so I'm asking you this. When it comes to
Look
those classic movies,
2019,
do you
see
like
the trailer for it?
It's going to be fantastic. I'm asking you, do you want to watch those type of movies, the animated version of it or the live version of it? Jungle Book had the live version of it.
They actually have an elephant flying in the 2019?
Listen, watch the trailer. Okay. But I'm asking you, do you like the animated version of those movies better, or do you like the live action movies of those versions?
Well, I am 38, and you know, when I was between 6 and 10 or 11, I might have liked the animated ones, but I'm more of a real... I almost see the real one.
Okay. Ribs?
Let's say between 6 and 37, you like the children's one, because you are a big kid. You just matured a little bit this year, so...
I'm coming into my own?
I'm going to go... I love cartoons. I love cartoons and the movies, but I'm going to go... I watched the trailer for Dumbo, and it's coming out in 2019, and I'm going to tell you, I think it looks like a dandy.
Yeah, but the difference also is we remember Dumbo as a 1985 version of it, cartoon animated one.
Yep.
If they did a 2019 animated Dumbo, it would be completely different. For me, I like the animated one. Like, if they came out and said, we're going to make the real-life version of The Lion King, I'd say, no, give me the original one. Like, I like the original one the way that I first saw it. Dumbo, I can still remember the elephant, like, coming down. The animated version.
But what I like about this is we're talking about animated and bringing it live.
To live.
And you know, it's like watching Peter Pan when we were kids. You know, it was unbelievable. You couldn't take your eyes off the TV. But now you look at all the versions of the real Peter Pan. I think it's been amazing to see what some Peter producer Pan? Can envision.
PD is Peter Pan. I don't want to grow.
I just think anyway, about Napoleon Dynamite.
Is that because he likes wearing tights?
Yeah, men in tights. Are we going to break, JJ? Okay, we're going to break. I had another
like
one, and maybe we'll talk
like
about it in the last
segment
Forget because we have a guest coming up.
Yes,
you
we do.
Being rude to your guest, she's probably
Nicole
waiting
Hensley
on the line.
Coming up.
She's
Buffalo
coming
Buttes.
Up. Goaltender. So we'll talk goalie in just a second here. We got to take a break because Jeremy Roenick, we had so much fun with him that we missed one earlier. So we'll see you in a couple of minutes here on the Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG.
We're back with more of the Instigators. With Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
All right, welcome back to the show. Before we have our next guest, Nicole Hensley, who we are very excited to have on, Olympic gold medalist and newest Buffalo Butte goaltender, Marty Biron has a couple of corrections he needs to make.
I must have hit my head really hard, and I've got people on Twitter, our fans are fantastic, so they are making a live-action Lion King. I said, you know, if they were to make a live action, so they are making a live action Lion King, and Tom in the back said the same thing. And Jim, which came in with the probably, he outdid the Great Blue Dini, and Great Blue Dini is usually really good. So Jim on Twitter right now says, oh my gosh, PD, Marty must have hit his head really hard thinking Dumbo came out in 1985. It came out in 1941. So I was way off on that one. It's an animated movie, Disney animated movie that came out in 1941. So I was only 44 years off.
Dynamite stuff, Marty. You probably watched it in 85. That's what we were saying.
That's probably what it
Joining us on the line right now, and I don't know if these days if you introduce people by their given names or their Twitter names, but it's Nicole Hensley, and she's at NK Hensley on Twitter. And she joins us right now on the Instigators. Is that still your Twitter handle?
It's actually not.
Oh, well, there you go. Got to do a little research on that. What is your Twitter handle so we can pump that out there for you?
My Twitter handle is NickHens29, NICHENS29.
Now, why 29? Obviously, do you wear 29, but why'd you pick 29?
Actually, I picked 29 because I've been a huge Marc-Andre Fleury fan for a really long time, so had a lot of fun watching the Vegas playoff run the past couple months here.
Well, are you disappointed then? I mean, what did you think of his performance in the finals? Less than stellar, we'd say.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, I thought the whole team struggled a bit. Gave up a lot of chances in the D zone, but Holtby was awesome for the Capitals as well. So, you know, when it comes down to it, the goalies can play a huge role in a series like that, and I think that's what you saw.
Marty loves that. Goalies can play a huge role.
Well, it's all about goaltending, right? It's goaltending
to the
and
goalie,
coaching.
It is, sure.
Fleury took him to the finals because of his play.
And then lost him the Stanley
exactly.
Cup.
You can be the hero to zero in no time.
In
and
four
obviously.
Games.
In four games, absolutely. And so, Nicole, let me ask you this question. You know, you were with Team USA in the Pyeongchang Olympics. You played a game against the Well, the United Athletes of Russian, or whatever they call it, Independent Athletes of Russians, and at a shutout. How did that feel to play on such a big stage at the Olympic Games this year?
It was so much fun. I mean, we had a great group of girls and women this year. It was a blast over there. Korea did a great job hosting such a massive event, and you know, it was such an honor to just be able to put on the Team USA jersey and to be able to walk with so many great athletes in opening ceremonies, and you know, to just represent the United States and Colorado and my family was a huge honor, and we made sure we had a lot of fun doing it.
Before we get to you agreeing to terms with the Buffalo Buttes, we're joined right now on the line with Nicole Hensley. She's a goaltender, played with USA and won a gold medal. I got to ask you this. I've met some people. I've had the great fortune of meeting some people that have won gold medals, and I always ask, where is your medal? What do you do with it? You know, I mean, something that three of us will never have.
I mean, right now it's actually in a backpack and just kind of being carried around. You know, it's kind of cool to get to share it with so many people. So it doesn't necessarily have like a safe home yet, because get to take it out a lot right now and share it with new people every day. So it's been a blast to see people's reactions to it, but eventually, hopefully, we get a cool spot for it. But yeah, for now, it kind of just goes with me on different adventures weekly. So it's been fun.
Question quickly, because of the Olympics brands, the equipment brands, a lot of time are not exposed. Like somebody wearing Vaughn gear won't say Vaughn on their equipment. What kind of equipment do you wear and why? Because I look at some of the pictures and I remember some of the videos, and so I can't really tell, because it was the stripe, right? The red stripe down the middle and all that. So yeah. What do you wear for gear?
I wear Brian's.
That's what I thought.
I switched over after my senior year in college. I'd worn CCM for a bit, and I tried Brian's. They sent me a pair over the summer to try, and I was just floored with how light they were and how much faster I was sliding on the ice. So I switched almost immediately. I was so impressed.
Yeah, see, that nobody would really care about the equipment other than the goalies. And since, you know, I care, because my little guy is 13 and he's already thinking of next year, Dad, maybe I'll go with the P2s like Fleury, or maybe I'll stick with my Bowers. And Brian's is this. So I always like to ask and find out why people change and what made them change.
Oh, it's great, Marty.
Yeah, good. Okay, we're just having a conversation here.
Nicole, let me ask you this: how did you get into hockey? I mean, what inspired you to get into hockey? Women's hockey has grown immensely in the last, I'd easily say, 20 plus years, and I'm just wondering.
And where did you play your youth hockey? Like, where are you?
Yeah, she's from Lakewood, Ohio.
No, Lakewood, Colorado.
Colorado.
Oh, it says Colorado. I thought I said Ohio. Sorry, my bad.
So did you always play with girls, or at some point were you playing on boys teams? Like, how did it work when you were growing up as a kid?
So as a kid, all the way up through my sophomore year of high school, I played with a local boys association, playing anywhere from like C team to A team, made my way up to double A eventually, but I played with them all the way up, and I had started playing right after the 2001 NHL season, when the Avalanche won the Cup. So hockey was kind of naturally booming in Colorado at that time, and I had a neighbor across the street that was always playing out in the street, and so he invited me to play one time, and so kind of just took off from there. But I started playing with the Colorado Select Girls Association when I was a junior and senior, to be able to get scouted for college.
So what does this mean then? I mean, now you're going to be a pro goaltender.
Yeah, I don't know if it's sunk in yet. I'm so excited to be part of the Buffalo Buttes organization, and I had a chance to come visit Buffalo about a month ago, and I was extremely impressed with their facilities, on ice, off ice. You know, all the accommodations they're making for their players is second to none, I think, in women's hockey right now, and I think that makes it a really exciting time to come be part of this organization.
Well, we girls, know, girls hockey is really big in Buffalo and in the Southern Ontario area. Is that something that allured you to come here and set yourself as a role model and a good, you know, something to look for some of the young girls in this area to play and continue to play hockey?
Definitely. I think there's so much opportunity with the professional leagues in North America for us to be role models, and I think that's something that we say a lot with Team USA is we're a part of something bigger than ourselves, and that includes taking steps for the next generation of female hockey players and female athletes so that they can grow their dreams just like we were able to grow ours.
Yeah, do you talk to other girl hockey players about, hopefully the future and the size of the league that you're playing in and how great it would be to have more teams and continue to grow the sport?
Definitely. I think that's something that players at this level talk a lot about and go back and forth on quite a bit is how can we grow women's hockey? How can we make it, how can it be seen more? How can little girls see professional hockey players so that they can dream about it, because we always say you can't dream about what you can't see. So I think, there's definitely a lot of talk amongst a lot of players on how we can do a better job of, getting this to little girls, however it may be, streaming games, coming to games live, and things like that. So I think that's a huge part of the goal of all the professional women's hockey players right now.
Were you part of the group with the women's U.S. team that were fighting for the equality when it comes to women's hockey and the resources and all of that before the World Championship a couple of years ago?
I was, yes.
And how was that experience? I mean, to truly fill the bond between the girls and fight for a cause and be able to win that and then go on to play right away after that?
It was some tense moments, but I think our whole team, as well as everyone within the USA Hockey umbrella, all the players felt that we were doing the right thing to advance the game, and we knew what we were worth, and thought that steps needed to be taken in our negotiations with USA Hockey to bring the women's game alongside the men's, and so it was it was a big deal for us. We were putting our, what we train every year for on the line. That's our big tournament every single year that it's not an Olympic year. And for us to say that we were willing to do that, I think was the first big step. And then, for all the women across the country that stood with us, women and men, it spoke volumes and helped us be able to get that deal done. And then we had, 2 days to prepare for our first game there. And so we turned right around and now it was kind of like, you guys have been all talk the past 2 or 3 weeks, so yeah. Let's see it. And so I think for us, we knew going into that tournament that there was a lot on the line, and I think that we felt like we had just stood together for something so big off the ice that nothing was going to separate us on the ice.
We are joined by Olympic gold medalist and newest Buffalo Buttes goaltender Nicole Hensley from Colorado. I have a question. I never played growing up. I never had a girl on my team. And I'm just wondering, how hard is it for a girl to play with boys at a young age? I mean, do you get heckled on the ice? I mean, what's it like? It must add a lot to the mental toughness.
Honestly, my experience was very positive growing up. I started so young and ended up being on the same team with a lot of guys all the way up through when I switched over to playing on the girls' side. So for me, I basically just had 20 older brothers on every single team. If somebody on another team said something, they were getting an earful and probably on their back from the guys on my team. I was so fortunate and blessed with the guys I was able to play with growing up, and I'm still really good friends with them. So, I know not everyone's experience is necessarily like that, but I was truly blessed with the guys that I played with.
Well, Nicole, we wish you all the best. And now that you have an Olympic gold medal, we hope that the Buttes can win a championship and get yourself a ring. You have unbelievable coaches and a great organization to play for. So welcome to Buffalo, and congrats on the contract. And we look forward to watching you play.
Thank you so much. Excited to get up there and get it started.
All right. Well, good luck to you. And we'll have you on again soon.
Sounds good. Thank you, guys.
Nicole Hensley, Olympic gold medalist, newest Buffalo Butte goaltender. And, you know, Buttes are good. They won 2 years ago. They lost in the finals last year. So maybe this is the piece that puts them over the hump this year. And we're going to be right back with the Instigators. I think we have to do a quick buy-sell trade before we get out of here. The final segment, WGR Sports Radio 550 and MSG. We'll be right back.
Hockey talk that hits. This is the Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
All right, time now for Buy, Sell, Trade, presented by Buffalo Sports. Go to Buffalo Sports, where you can buy, sell, and trade new and used sports equipment on McKinley Parkway. And with our Buy, Sell, Trade, we go all the way back to Ottawa, the nation's capital up in Canada. And we ask you this. Carlson and Hoffman will both be traded. Buy, sell, trade.
I'm going to sell this. They won't both be traded. One of them will be gone. Most likely will be Mike Hoffman. That's the way I look at it. I say Carlson is the, in this situation, from the outside looking in right now, is the victim. He's the top player. He's the player that should remain an Ottawa Senator. And so from the information we have right now, I'm going to say Mike Hoffman will be the one gone.
I'm going to sell this also. I do believe that Erik Karlsson will be an Ottawa Senator for the rest of his career. Hoffman will be moved out. But in order to sign Karlsson, you have to get rid of some horrible contracts in Ottawa, and I think that will happen over time.
I'm gonna buy it. I think they're both gone.
Well, there's I just retweeted the odds at Bodog on player trades and where they'll play game one of next season. Mm. Karlsson plus 160 to play for the Ottawa Senators, and Hoffman plus 170 to play for the Ottawa Senators. So they're about the same right now, 50-50.
They're gone, and we're gone, and we're back tomorrow with Matty Ellis, Mr. Bang On, right here on Bang WGR on. Sports Radio 550 and MSG. One Bills Live next.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.